Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin, was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead, demonstrating that he has conquered death. He's alive, bodily, yes, bodily, risen from the dead.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. At Easter, we celebrate a risen Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death and is alive forevermore. But do you understand why the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the most important event in human history and essential to your life today? Because Jesus lives, our lives are forever changed. Let's join Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's message titled, Death Conquered.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I trust you had an inspiring Easter Sunday celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We who are followers of Jesus believe that death is not to be feared or to be denied, but rather is to be faced. Our Savior, the one we follow, has gone into death, through it, and conquered it. He is the only way of salvation. No one comes to the Father apart from him. Jesus still says to his followers, "Because I live, you shall live also." This is why as Christians we have peace when a loved one dies. We miss them tremendously, but know they are with the Lord Jesus, eternally united to him. So let's learn about our Savior conquering death.
Christ is risen. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, if you have a Bible, I ask you to open it. This is the great chapter. It's a long chapter, and we're not going to look at all of the verses, but we're going to look at quite a number of verses in this great chapter on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul is writing. He was once a skeptic. In fact, he was once a persecutor of the church. And then on the road to Damascus, he had a living encounter with Jesus Christ, which totally changed his life. Now, he is writing 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He says, "I deliver to you as of first importance." Paul has got a lot to say. He writes many letters in the New Testament. But notice he says, this is of first importance. "I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." The gospel of Jesus Christ. This letter we call 1 Corinthians begins with Paul saying that when he came to Corinth, he had one message, and he delivered it in great fear and trembling, and his message was this: Christ crucified. And now at the end of the letter, he continues to emphasize the gospel by emphasizing the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. This is at the very heart of the gospel, that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God, that on the cross he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again and is alive. And if you receive this Jesus Christ, God incarnate, if you receive this Jesus Christ personally into your life as your Savior of your sins and as your Lord, the Bible says that you will be saved. That when we're saved by the grace of God, a miracle takes place, because this is something supernatural. This is not reforming our behavior. This is not intellectually embracing some kind of theological dogma. No, it is receiving the person, the living person of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, think of this, the very life of God comes into our soul. That is the promise of the gospel, that you receive eternal life, and that this life is not just something that you inherit when you die, but rather this life is received now. That's why we were singing, Jesus Christ is our hope in life, now, and in death. How wonderful. All of life then is forever changed. If the claims of the gospel is true, if it is true that Jesus Christ is alive, which is the fundamental claim of the Christian faith, that he is God, and if that is true, and that we in this miracle of conversion, we who are sinful men and women, who are strangers to God, but that we repent of our sin and we receive Christ, life is forever changed. And we have the assurance that if we are truly saved, that when we die, we shall live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ has risen, Paul is going to say later in 1 Corinthians 15, that death is swallowed up in victory. Now, you don't think of victory and death in the same sentence, do you? You think of death as a defeat, as something sad, as something tragic. And in one sense it is, but from the Christian perspective, because Christ has conquered death, Paul can say that death is swallowed up in victory. I've called this message, Death Conquered. Over this last year, I've thought a lot about death. I've been forced to think about it. Thought a lot about the resurrection. Thought a lot about heaven. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we do not deny death. There are many people, perhaps the majority of people, who live life on earth as if they're going to live forever. That's utter foolishness. To deny your own mortality. Well, there are many people like that. They, in a sense, deny death. There are many people who fear death. That, after all, is the greatest fear that could happen, to die. So many people live in fear of death. But for the follower of Christ, we don't deny death. We don't fear death. But we can look death, as it were, in the face and face the reality of death. You say, is that true, John? Yes, it is true. Because over the years, my years as a pastor, I've sat with people, followers of Christ, who are terminally ill. Some of them have known they've only a week or two to live, a few days, some a few months. And this is their testimony over and over again. I do not fear death because I know Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. I have this hope in life and in death. So death then for the Christian is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end. It is the beginning of our eternal life with Christ. Now what's Paul saying in this wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 15? Well, he's saying, first of all, that Christ has conquered death by bodily rising from the dead. Now, I've emphasized that word bodily because it is important by the argument that follows. And one of the main points I want to make this morning, that Jesus Christ has conquered death by bodily rising from the dead. That is, the resurrection of Jesus is a bodily resurrection. There are the liberal theologians who would say, well, you know, the spirit of Christ is there. The divine essence is somewhere there. It's not the teaching of the New Testament. The teaching of the New Testament is that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the dead. And Christianity, and this is Paul's argument here, Christianity stands or falls with the historical fact of the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the third day, think of this, the one who was nailed to the cross, crucified, put to death by the Roman executioners who knew how to kill a man. Absolutely, he was dead. No question about it. On the third day, by an act of the power of Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead. That's what Paul is saying. And the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is overwhelming. The tomb is empty. The body of Christ has gone. Not only did neither the Jews nor the Romans ever produce his body, Paul is saying that Jesus appeared to many people after his resurrection. You've got witness after witness after witness saying, we've seen the risen Christ. And these disciples who were so fearful when Christ was arrested and tried and put on the cross, so fearful, now after the resurrection, after they have seen Jesus Christ, they are totally transformed. They're full of courage. They're full of joy. Why? Because they had seen the risen Christ and they knew. And what did they do? They went right to the very streets of Jerusalem, right to downtown Jerusalem. And what did they preach? And what did they say? That Jesus Christ, the one you put on the cross, is risen from the dead. And the book of Acts tells us that they turned the world upside down. A small group of people, men and women. And the early church is persecuted. They're put out of their homes. They lose their jobs. They're imprisoned. They're beaten. Does that stop the gospel? Absolutely not. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. They believed that Jesus Christ conquered death. Anyone here can conquer death? I'm sure there's many accomplished people here. There's some wealthy people here. There's some people who are extraordinary, strong. They work out at the gym every day and they've got these bulging muscles. I like to hide mine for obvious reasons. They're at the peak of health. They seem so strong, like Superman. Think any one of them can defeat death? Anyone can conquer death? The answer is absolutely not. You know that. Why is that? Because over all of humanity, irrespective whether you're male or female, black or white, whether you come from China or Mongolia or Brazil or Argentina, makes absolutely different, no difference. The scripture says there's no difference between any of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has messed up. Every single one of us who could take you up here and just with a few questions, I could demonstrate that you, like me, are a fallen person. And the wages of sin is death. With every law, there's a penalty. That's true. We're caught speeding, there's a penalty. In the law, you break the law, there's a penalty. We break God's law, there's a penalty. And the penalty is death. The wages of sin is death. And you will never, ever defeat that. It will come to you, perhaps today, perhaps in 50 years, I don't know. But you know death is no respecter of person. It comes to people of all ages. Sometimes slowly, sometimes in a matter of a second, and we're gone. Stories told a number of years ago, certainly prior to the internet, of a Scottish woman who went to the local newspaper office to publish the obituary of her recently deceased husband. And she asked the cost. We Scots are accused of being frugal people. Totally untrue, but for the sake of the story, we'll accept that. And she asked the cost. And the editor said, well, Mrs. McTavish, there is the cost of $1 per word. She said, well, then let the obituary state Angus McTavish died. He said, look, he says there's a minimum of 7 words. I thought, who is this woman? She reflected. She says, okay, let it read. Angus McTavish died, golf clubs for sale. So that's pretty good. But as I saw that, I thought, you know, there's a profound truth there, isn't there? That whether you're Angus McTavish or John Doe, you'll die. And whether you have golf clubs or not, every single thing you have, you'll leave behind. You may be the wealthiest person in the Carolinas, you'll leave it all behind. The Bible says you come in naked and you go out naked. That's true. How are babies born? Do they come with anything? Zero. When you're put in that casket, what do you have? Zero. You leave it all behind, and sometimes there's greedy relatives just waiting for it. That's the reality, isn't it? But here is the uniqueness and the brilliance of the Christian faith. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin, was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead, demonstrating that he has conquered death. We need to get that. He has conquered death. He's alive, bodily, yes, bodily, risen from the dead. Jesus says in a wonderful verse, John 8, verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. You say, whoa, hold it, John. I thought you said we all die. That's true. What did Jesus mean then that says if we keep his word, we will never see death? Perhaps another saying of Jesus will help. You hear this one? John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is, while we may go through death, but death has been defeated. So in that sense, we never die because we will live forever. D.L. Moody puts it this way, the great preacher, the American preacher. Someday you'll read in the newspapers that Moody is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. That's it. Death has been conquered. And Moody understood this. Moody understood that he was united with Christ in life and in death. Now get this. Paul's argument here is this. Because Christ conquered death, his followers will conquer death. That is, Christ's bodily resurrection is the guarantee of his followers' bodily resurrection. If Christ was not bodily raised from the dead and has not conquered death, there is no resurrection for his followers. Our resurrection is totally dependent upon his. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. Follow the argument. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If there's no resurrection, even Christ wasn't raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope, in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's saying this: if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, the whole of Christianity falls, and you will not be raised from the dead. But verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep, a euphemism for death. For as by a man came death, who was that man? Adam. By a man, Christ, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, we all sin, we all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. How wonderful. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have the absolute assurance that those who die trusting in Christ will also be bodily resurrection. Paul says that first fruit of Christ's resurrection is signifying that there's going to be an abundant harvest. I don't know how many followers of Christ have died. There must be millions upon millions of millions over the years. And the basis of my hope then, that I will be raised from the dead, is that my Savior, Jesus Christ, was dead and is alive. You say, how does that work? Christ's bodily resurrection provides the power for the bodily resurrection of his followers. His resurrection and our resurrection form an unbreakable union. One of Paul's favorite expressions for the Christian, I love it, is that we are in Christ. It's not that Christ is there and we're sort of standing in awe of him. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ embraces us and we embrace him. This is a love relationship, that I am in Christ and he is in me. And that's an unbreakable bond. And there is no force in the universe, including death, which can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Death Conquered. John's closing remarks are coming up in just a moment, so stay with us. If you've ever had questions about your faith, like whether you can lose your salvation or how you can be certain about what you believe, you'll want a copy of John's special booklet, Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn about John's personal testimony as he explores some of the most fundamental aspects of salvation. Whether you're new to the faith or just wrestling with some tough questions, we encourage you to request your free copy of this booklet today by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter and be the first to know about upcoming series and events. Go to theverdict.org. While you're online, you'll also have the chance to take a new step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting the work of this radio ministry. You can join our efforts to share God's word by sending a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And then be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. That way you'll have access to all of our daily lessons, along with John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Being a Christian is not just embracing some of the teaching of Jesus or trying to follow his example. The good news of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Today, will you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Now, if your trust is in Christ, you can live a life following the living Christ who indwells you, who's always with you, and who will take you safely through death into his eternal presence.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.